Hello, Internet. Welcome to All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 4, we talk about Stranger Things. This episode is spoilerific, so if you haven't seen Stranger Things, you probably don't want to listen to this podcast because we spoil the heck out of it. Also, as a follow-up to Stranger Things, Sam also includes a list of 5 movies that feature the best group of kid actors. So make sure you listen to the entire podcast because that will be at the end. All right, enjoy. And we're recording. So, hello everybody.
Hello.
This is All of My Issues. And this week we're going to talk about
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, yes indeed. So I don't know, Sam, do you want to start out? Do you got a list of some of the things you want to talk about? Or
sure.
Maybe we should warn everybody it's going to be probably a little bit spoiler heavy.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, watch it before you listen.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to spoil a few things. But, I'll get started. I just finished the season 1 of Stranger Things, and I got to say that I loved it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, my friend. I everything that was in it, I spoke with a couple other friends, and, Just the feeling of it was just everything about it. It's like it's nostalgia heavy. I mean, it like hits right on that nostalgia nerve.
Yes,
you know. So yes. Like everything about it. So it made me kind of wonder if if somebody didn't grow up during that time period, you know, or isn't even fond of 80s movies all that much, or maybe not that familiar with them. I don't know if they would have the same reaction to it that we're having, you know, as far as being interested in it, but. For me, I mean, that's everything about it was just brought back all kinds of memories of watching movies.
Oh, definitely. You know? And I think, even without the nostalgia of it, I think people would just like the story and how it was told. I mean, I just love it. I just love the characters. I love how the story development was. It wasn't one of those things that was just full of gore and no substance. Like this show had real substance to it.
Exactly. And real feeling. Definitely. Yeah, the characters felt real.
Yes,
everything about them. I mean, the acting was superb. And like what you're saying too, even, you know, there are some deaths.
Yes.
But like you're saying, though, it wasn't like overly gory or anything like that. A lot of the stuff kind of happens behind the scenes.
Right.
But, you know, it's still so effective. And it's such a good story, I thought, you know. And again, you know, definitely everything about it felt so like an old Amblin Entertainment movie.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
Goonies, E.T.,
exactly,
era stuff.
Like some of the things like you just mentioned, like with the nostalgia and stuff, if when watching the series and stuff, you're like, I think I know where they got that scene from. Like there's a scene where one of the victims, I think it's the character's Nancy, I think her friend, where she gets abducted. You could kind of tell, I could see like a little like Jaws, because she gets kind of abducted like into a pool or something like that.
And the whole,
you know, first she's getting pulled and she's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, you know, she realizes that something bad's about to happen and she gets taken. And I thought that gave some homages to some of the old like 80s movies and movies that we've all grown up to see and everything. And I just think the directors of the series did a really good job.
was it the creators or the Duffer Brothers?
Yes.
Like another sibling creative team, creative force, like the Russos, I guess.
Exactly. And, exactly.
But yeah, no, I thought it was great too. Yeah, and you know, there's a, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but on, and if you do like a Google search for this or something like that, there's a shot-by-shot comparison between Stranger Things and some of those movies that we're kind of talking about.
Okay.
And like, and you know, like you're saying too, like there's some of the shots and some of the scenes you kind of picked up on from older, you know, movies and stuff like that, like Jaws or Goonies or something like that. And, you know, I picked some of those up as well, you know, some of those. But, like, watching the shot-by-shot comparison, like, I was kind of blown away by how many really closely shot scenes, that just the framing, everything, that, you know, a lot of these just completely slipped past me. And, you know, and you know, to the creator's credit, I guess, you know, that I didn't see it. But it's there, so yes. That probably definitely adds to that whole feeling of watching a movie from the 80s,
because
there's those hidden shots and stuff like that, those angles that bring back those thoughts and feelings.
I totally agree. We have to talk about Winona Ryder.
Hey, I love talking about Winona Ryder.
Oh my goodness, Winona Ryder did such an amazing job.
Yeah, it's good to see her come back, like, you know, into something, like, really showing her acting chops and everything. She, you know, she was really good in this. I really enjoyed seeing her. I've always kind of liked her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good to see her acting and in something again, especially something this good.
Yeah. I think she just did an amazing job. And, you know, you kind of just felt for her character, like, she knew, you know, that she wasn't crazy, but everything that she was doing to other people, I mean, to the people, like, watching her, they thought she was crazy. And in her character, you just felt, like, for her character as a mother just trying to get her son back from whatever strange things is happening in the town. It is just, you just felt for her.
And what they call it, the Upside Down.
The Upside Down,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, I think it was like episode 2 or 3 when they first showed the Upside Down world. You know, I was talking to a coworker of mine, and we were talking about it and everything. And you know, he thought it was like some sort of like distant alien world. And when I was watching, I was like, no, that looks just like basically bizarro world of our world.
Yeah, like almost like an inverse of it or
yeah.
something. Or like a
yeah.
or another dimension. I don't think it was like another world, because like you saw things that were in our world, but like almost like beyond.
And they're all
like what we'd see.
Yeah, yeah. It's like something that already happened, and this was the result of what had already happened. So one can say whether it was, you know, the Upside Down world of our world, or maybe like a future that may be coexisting in our same timeline or something like that.
Something like that. Because I kind of thought, like, there's that one movie. Again, I think this movie came out in the 80s. It was, like, based off an H.P. Lovecraft story. It's called From Beyond.
Okay.
And where there are these creatures that are all around us at all times, but we can't see them because they're in another dimension.
Ah.
And the one scientist in that movie creates, if I'm remembering correctly, he creates a device that allows us to see this fourth dimension, if you will, and there's these crazy monsters in this dimension, and then as soon as we can see them, they can see us and immediately try to attack us.
Wow.
So okay. So it really kind of made me kind of think of that.
Okay.
That, at least for me, it was almost like and we were kind of talking a little bit about this before we started recording, about how this movie kind of made me feel like it was a comic book movie before comic book movies became big, because, you know, in the 80s, you know, we growing up, we were dying to have like a good comic book movie, you know, and they never came out, you know. So anytime that I saw a movie personally, whenever I saw a movie that had a character in it that had powers, I immediately drew parallels between that and, like, a superhero comic or a movie or something like that. Like, I felt this way about Firestarter, where she had, like, pyrokinetic powers, mm-hmm. and she could control fire, and that was her, like, superpower, and I thought of her, like, oh, I mean, she's obviously, you know, in another world, in the comic book world, she'd be a mutant.
Right.
So, and that's what made me think about Eleven. Yeah. And Stranger Things, I was like, oh, she's like kind of like a mutant. You know, she's got these abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this whole, like, the whole world around her, you know, made me thinking that this is a comic book movie. This is a mutant movie, if you will, an X-Men movie before the X-Men came out.
Right.
It's like that lost X-Men movie.
It's like the mutants are just now... Are being more exposed now than in the past, and how is society going to adjust to someone that's different than them that has these abilities, good or evil? How will society adjust to where they fit in the world?
Exactly. Yeah. World. Yeah. Definitely.
So the kids, the actors who were the kids, the stars of it, who were friends with Eleven, I thought they did a good job. I mean,
oh yeah, definitely. Like, you know, it was kind of like, even though they physically don't look anything like the Goonies,
mm-hmm.
completely felt like the Goonies.
It felt like, you know, felt what like I mean? The like, Goonies. It felt like some Goonies. Like Goonies,
Stand by Me,
Monster Squad. I mean,
oh yeah, the Monster Squad. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it just felt, you know, you're like sitting there, and especially like the battle scene where the kids actually come face to face with the monster, and yeah. and they're basically shooting
the
at
Demogorgon.
The Demogorgon. Yeah. And it's like, oh shoot. Hit it with the rock, and they're, you know, they're trying all this stuff, and it's like they're just going to band together because they kind of think they know it's serious, but it's still like a D&D game for them. So
yeah, and they're trying things that they would probably try in D&D, and things that, you know, I could totally see like the Goonies trying,
exactly,
you know, or
exactly,
or something like that, you know, and you know, and there's a couple scenes. In the movie, like the one scene where the two bully kids have the other kid with the knife,
yeah,
and they like have him at knife point, basically, totally reminded me of something from Stand By Me.
Exactly,
you know.
I kind of think that like the bullies in the 80s were a lot menacing than bullies now, because like
I
think now we just got worried about, you know. What do you say on the social media and stuff, but like at least in the movies, like they carried knives and guns and
what yeah they? I mean, whoa, hello. You like, know, and maybe, you know, maybe like in the climate of today's, you know,
right,
you know not... guns in schools and all, you know, knives, and it's probably, you know, I'm you know, I understand that's not gonna,
it's not, you know, gonna fly,
not gonna fly.
But man, these bullies were...
Yeah, somehow in the 80s, that, you know, kids running around with knives, way more acceptable somehow. Where'd that kid get that knife from? It's kind of crazy. Kind of crazy. But, you know, it didn't seem out of place in the movie at all. You know, I could expect it, because, I mean, man, we saw it in Stand By Me. Why wouldn't it happen in Stranger Things?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's... It was good. Everything, you know, those little scenes like that, like it's I mean, I don't know if it necessarily propelled the story further,
mm-hmm.
but it just made the story, made everything that happens in the story, made it feel more real.
Exactly. I agree.
Just is very character driven, developed the characters really well. I guess, you know, anybody that's probably listening to this, they probably at least have seen Stranger Things already, so they probably have all their own ideas and their own thoughts about what they think about the show. One of those things that kind of made me think about it, too, is like, okay, her name's Eleven. It makes me think there was at least 10 others at some point, and we don't really know what happened to them.
Right.
You know, if you know, are there others with abilities out there? Did they just stop at 11? Maybe they went on to 20.
I don't know.
Or 12. I don't know.
Yeah, that, you know what, they bring up, I didn't even think about that, about possibly being, you know, other experiments before 11. I didn't even think about that. I just thought maybe, I have no idea what I thought, why they named her that way, but I didn't even think about, that makes total sense.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I kind of, because, you know, it was kind of interesting that they just called her 11 throughout. So, you know, they kind of hinted at that, where her mother was at and everything beforehand. They kind of, there was that one episode where they kind of look into her backstory a little bit.
Yes.
But, you know, it'd be interesting just to see more of that too. Just to see, you know, the other ones, the other experiments, if you will, what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know, one of the rumors that I heard too is, the Matthew Modine character, the scientist, the Dr. Martin, what's his name? Dr. Let me see if I can look this up real quick. He's the evil doctor guy. Let's see. Dr. Martin Brenner, that, you know, it's kind of hinted at that he's killed at the end of the series by the Demogorgon. But you don't really see it.
Right, exactly. You know what? I was just going to bring that up. It's like, you've seen basically everyone else get killed. You see the Demogorgon jump on him, but you don't really see him die.
Exactly, yeah.
And especially when they show scenes from the Upside Down universe, they show other people that you've seen died in our universe, but they didn't show him.
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm not sure if he got taken into the next dimension, the Upside Down dimension, just like little Will did, or what. But that will be interesting to see in the next season.
Yeah, and it definitely seems like there's going to be another season, because from some of the stuff that I've seen and read, it sounds like this is actually Netflix's most popular series ever. Yeah. By far. Like, they haven't, I don't think there's actual numbers that they've had, that they've revealed yet. Maybe there is by now. But by far, I guess it's blown away everything else. So there'd definitely be a second season.
Oh, yeah, because there's still unanswered questions. Spoiler alert, you know, they get Will back from the Upside Down dimension. But we find out a few months later that
he didn't come back by himself.
Yeah, a creature comes out of his mouth when he's in the bathroom and coughs.
We're guessing it's a creature. I don't know. Did it really move?
I think it moved. I think it went into and went down the. It was like slippery
drain.
Down the drain. It kind of reminded me of. The Stephen King movie Dreamcatchers, even though Dreamcatchers wasn't really that good, but it kind of reminded me of those creatures that, you know, if we get to the water supply, and Dreamcatchers, if we got to the water supply, then basically the world's over.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of that. There's that movie too, Night of the Creeps.
Exactly.
The things that went in people's mouths, but he spit this thing out, and I'm like, oh, what is that? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what's up with that. Maybe Will's going to turn into Demogorgon or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Because there was a key part after, you know, everyone came into the hospital and Will woke up and, you know, basically said, you know, the Demogorgon got me. Again, he says that to his friends.
Yeah, like, that's true. He does say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, his friend's like, well, yeah, but, you know, we got it and you're back. So that could be like a little hint of what is to come in the next season.
Yeah, does he become the Demogorgon? Or maybe he is the Demogorgon? Or somehow they've melded together? I don't know.
Or he could be the new gateway that is basically the anchor to our world for
the upside down world. Yeah, that could be. Because even at the end when that thing comes out of his mouth, there's that little quick flash where it kind of shows the upside down world and then it kind of goes away.
Right,
real quick. So yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting to see what. I want to know more about that company too. That weird company that Dr. Martin Brenner worked for, because they look like they were up to some pretty shady stuff.
Well, you know, it was since it took time around like the 80s, so that's basically around the Cold War, about, you know, trying to get up into space. So they may have been trying
but that Cold War thing, that, like, that's one of the things that I kind of really enjoyed about that too, is like the periodness of that, you know, just talking about the Cold War stuff and the fact that they were, you know, experimenting on these kids kind of to use them as weapons to fight the Soviets during the Cold War. I mean, that's kind of, it's like just a cool story, you know, just like, oh man, immediately as soon as you find that out, that kind of sucked me into, because I'm just kind of a sucker for that kind of stuff when it goes to that. But yeah, where were you going before I interrupted you? You were talking about some stuff about the Cold War.
Just about like, you know, the whole, that area was out of the Cold War, so everything was kind of like kind of secretive, and it was a time where we as the public was like, you know what, our government, you know, is not going to do experiments on us. They're our government. They're for us.
Yeah, a little more naive than, you know. Because things did seem simpler around that time, at least for me when, you know, I was a kid. So,
But I learned never to really trust people in white hazmat suits.
Yes.
Because, if you grew up in the 80s, you saw E.T.
Yeah. And you know, immediately hazmat suit, not going to trust that guy.
No, you can't go trust that guy.
Not going to trust that guy.
They're not your friends. They don't really seem to look out for your best interests.
Exactly. There's some sort of weird government business going on there with hazmat suits. The other thing that I really like too is just like, you know, stuff that happened in the movie, or in the series, I should say, because it's not really a movie, it's like a whole series long thing, is that it, you know, they had characters in it that you could see that were from like a 1980s movie, and a lot of times you probably, you know, at least for me, I expected kind of the worst for some of these characters, you know, like they have that guy, that Steve Harrington character that Nancy Wheeler gets into a relationship with, you know, and you end up getting a little busy or whatever. Right. And immediately, like, my first thoughts were, oh man, Steve Harrington, he's going to be a huge jerk. He's going to be a big douche. Immediately.
Like,
you know, because that's what you'd expect from, like, an 80s kind of guy. You know, he's going to just toss her aside or whatever.
Right.
And then as the story unfolds, you know, things are happening. At first, it seems like he's really hurt by her spending time with Will's brother.
Yeah, Jonathan.
Yep. Jonathan, yeah. But, he eventually comes around, and he's actually kind of there for her, and, he actually cares.
Yeah, cares, exactly.
Yeah, and I was like, holy crap, I didn't see that coming. I thought for sure, 80s jerk. That's what he is. Exactly. He's the 80s popular kid that's going to be the one that you're going to hate.
Yeah, and you know, he did give us a few reasons to kind of hate him a little bit. I mean, he like basically painted a sign calling Nancy a slut on the on the town's movie board.
It's was it him that did it, or was it his buddies?
It was both of them.
Was it both of them? Okay, I wasn't sure, but he ends up cleaning it up though,
right? Because he realizes maybe I'm a kind of a bit of a jerk and don't want to be a jerk.
Yeah.
So I think he's like what's his name from the Karate Kid, the first bully,
Johnny. Johnny.
Yeah, because if you look back,
Johnny, sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg, Johnny. Johnny really was, if you, because I remember, I just watched it again recently, and Johnny really wasn't that bad of a bully. In fact, I mean, it was kind of, Daniel who kind of kept spurring him on.
A little bit, yeah. I can see where you're coming with this too. And I think part of it too is like, the Cobra Kai dojo, like he's being influenced by his sensei.
Exactly.
But at the end he
comes to terms and him and Daniel become he respects him and there's no hard feelings. And so I think that's where I think they kind of, if they didn't, it really brought back nostalgia for me of him reconciling with Jonathan and Nancy.
Yeah.
That he's not such a bad guy. It was like,
realizing his douchiness. Yeah. And, he's like some of the stuff that he did. Ends up being like, hey, he's not a bad guy, actually.
Not a bad guy.
Yeah. His hair's feathered and all that kind of stuff. And normally you think feathered hair, 80s jerk. But no, he ends up being okay. Steve Harrington, here's to you.
Here's to you. You are not a douche.
Exactly. You are not a douche. And you know what? The one guy that I was wondering if he was going to, I thought either this was going to go one of two ways. And the guy that I'm talking about is their science teacher, Mr. Clark.
Oh.
Like, I thought, at one point I was thinking, there's gonna be something weird going on with this guy.
Yeah.
Or I thought he's gonna die.
Yeah, I was like don't kill the science teacher.
Don't kill the science teacher. And it's just something that it's kind of like a feeling that I had. I'm like, the kid, he seems to like the kids. He seems like a nice guy.
Right, and when one of the government agents came to the house or to the school and was like, hey, do you have any kids? You're a teacher. And I'm like, don't kill the science dude. He just got a date.
I know. I thought for sure. I'm like, no, don't let that. But he made it.
He made it through. So I was happy that government agent lady got her just dessert because she had no problem just putting bullets in people's heads.
Exactly. That poor guy that was running that diner.
Exactly.
That guy, he seemed like such a nice guy. He's trying to take care of Eleven. He's like, just trying to do what's right.
Like, only thing they had to do was just like, if they didn't see her, then they could have just walked out. But no, they just shot him in the head.
Shoot him in the head, and then just, I was like, whoa, come on, man. So, what about Jonathan Byers with his camera taking pictures of stuff?
He's a tad bit creepy.
I'm like, dude, why are you don't take the pictures of them at the pool and at the window? Don't do that, because that's, come on, it's borderline,
creepy, especially in a small town.
And if you know you're gonna have to develop the pictures at school, come on, you're just inviting trouble because you're taking pictures of stuff. He should have known that he shouldn't be taking these pictures. I mean, granted, to help them,
figure out
what's going on, see the Demogorgon kind of, a little blur, but did that through a little bit of a little bit of creepiness there going on. A little bit of,
stop taking the picture, stop taking the picture, and there you go.
Yeah. That would have been all right. But,
poor Jonathan.
Exactly. What about the Chief Jim Hopper?
Oh, yeah, that guy was played by the actor David Harbaugh.
Yeah, yeah, Harbaugh, I think. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, he was. His story. You know what though? His story, his backstory was just kind of sad because
it was tragic. Yeah, was yeah.
Because you know, around that time, especially in the '80s, like cancer wasn't really, you know, really talked about.
No. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
And
it was kind of just one of those things that kind of happened, but you kind of, you know, no one really, you know, it kind of pushed it under the carpet, if you will, or under the rug.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of just liked how the story kind of unfolded with him, too, because initially when they kind of talk about his daughter missing, you know, one of the things that I had kind of thought about, well, maybe 11 is his daughter, you know, early on, you know, and I thought, well, maybe that's his daughter, he's going to find out, you know, that that's her or whatever, but, you know, that didn't end up being the case after they kind of unveiled his story a little bit, that he, you know, he didn't lose his daughter, he actually lost his daughter because she passed away,
right,
from cancer,
right.
At least we're assuming it was cancer.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I thought that story was just really like when they were towards the end there when they were doing those parallels when they were going through the upside down.
Yes.
And they're showing
him doing
the
CPR.
Yeah, the stuff with his daughter, and just, yeah, that I was like, man, that's some good stuff there. That's pretty cool. That's,
yeah,
you know, it added a lot more weight to his character, and I end up liking his character a lot more because of that.
Too, right.
You
know, I was afraid that he was going to, when he first got into the compound and stuff. You gotta be a boss, but just walking into the compound and saying,
"Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, here's what you're going to do."
Yeah, exactly. I thought for sure he's gonna walk in the compound. Boom, they're gonna ax him. I thought that was gonna end up.
You know, at first I thought so too, but then I thought about like his mindset was, "I'm the chief of police. I'm like, if I go missing, people are going to come looking for me."
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
So I'm not just you know, a neighbor guy, or even a trooper.
But that government agency, you know, they weren't above and beyond faking people's deaths. You know, they had that fake body of Will.
Yes,
you know
that's true.
And it took Hopper to determine that it really wasn't Will, but a dummy.
Yeah,
you know, if you will. So I was like, man, you know, so this agency you don't want to mess with because they'll make you disappear. Exactly. Or they'll make it look like you disappeared. Look like you
disappear.
Or if you did disappear, they make it look like you died instead of disappear.
Right, exactly. So, and I love, you know, Winona Ryder's character where she was just like, that's not my son.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, she knew that wasn't her son. And then even when she was face to face with the whole government agency corporation and they're trying to negotiate something, and she's like looking at him like, you had me bury someone that you thought I would pass off as my son, and you want me to cooperate with you?
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's true.
So
yeah, the characters, they were all good. Like each one of them, you know, totally relatable, totally not like a cookie cutter at all.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, especially like the boys and Eleven's relationship, their friendship.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that too, because that felt real. Felt like it grew. It wasn't, you know, none of that seemed forced.
I felt like Lucas though. I think I related more to Lucas than anyone because I'm one of those guys like, hey, what are you doing? This is stupid. We need to call the police.
Yeah, yeah, that's, and, you know, and it's hard to argue with that logic.
But Mike and Dustin, those two guys were good, especially Dustin. He was like the medium between between Lucas and Mike.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, but he was the funny one too. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's the funny one. Yeah. He was the chunk.
The chunk.
kind of character. Even though he wasn't really chunky, I guess. I mean, maybe a little bit. But he's not really. I mean,
yeah.
You know, But he was the comedic relief for sure.
Exactly.
I think. And but again, you know, just a cool character though too. You know, he didn't come off as just being one dimensional.
Yeah.
You know, and they all, that's what I thought was kind of cool with all of them. He's, you know, none of those core four kids, I guess if you count 11, really. Because I don't know if you could really include Will, because he's only seen in the first episode, kind of. I mean, he's one of their buddies for sure.
Right.
You know, but he kind of disappears. But each one of them, you know, definitely had, you know, depth to their characters.
Right.
So it was good.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. Now, with Stranger Things, I was thinking, you know, those kids were kind of cool to hang out with. And so I came up with a list of the top five, you know, kids group in the 80s. I narrowed it down to the 80s, since Stranger Things basically takes place in the 80s, of who I would, like, want to hang out with or what group I would want to be a part of. So, you guys can tell me whether or not you agree with this list, or is there some list that you think who should be on there and who should be on there. So, I'm going to go with my list. I'm going to start out with number five.
Number five, people. Number five, internet.
The Wolverines from Red Dawn.
Oh, the Wolverines.
We're talking about 1984 Red Dawn, not the 2000.
Yeah, no, that one didn't happen.
Yeah, that one didn't happen.
We're talking about the Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, we got Patrick Swayze. We got C. Thompson Howe. We got Leah Thompson. Now, I got a huge crush. And we got, you know, the Tiger Blood himself, Charlie Sheen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he is in
there. That's right.
I forgot about Mr. Tiger Blood.
That's right. So Red Dawn, the Wolverines, where they happened to be, you know, fighting the Russians over here in America because they had invaded.
Yes, yeah. Another Cold War era story.
Exactly. And they were defending their hometown. So I that's number five for me. The Wolverine.
Number five.
From Red Dawn. Number four would be the kids from Stand By Me.
Oh, see, I gotta say that one too, because Stand By Me, that's probably one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah. Just because it's, you know, it's just good. It's just a good story. You know, it's about friendship. You know, it's about growing up.
Exactly.
It's, you know,
about seeing a dead body.
About seeing a dead body.
So, in case we spoil that for someone, they look for a dead body.
Yeah.
That starred River Phoenix.
Yeah, the late River Phoenix.
We got Will Wheaton.
Oh, that's right, Will Wheaton.
Yes.
From
the Star Trek Next Generation.
That's right.
Fame, and sometimes the co-star of The Big Bang Theory. Makes some guest appearances.
There you go.
We also have Corey Feldman.
The Feldman.
Yeah, the 80s were pretty good for the Coreys.
Yeah,
so
they were. 2000s, not so much. You know, 80s definitely were for the Coreys.
And their chunk of their group was Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yes. Now, if you Google him, you see him with his shirt off, and all the ladies love him, and he's married to Rebecca Romijn, and I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, seems like there's no justice in the world, but hey, there you go.
Exactly.
But Stand By Me, great movie.
Stand By Me is number four.
Number four.
Number three, The Explorers, the 1985 film starring River Phoenix again.
Uh-huh.
Ethan Hawke, this movie was about three friends who create basically a spaceship that goes out into outer space, and they meet some aliens. So it's a pretty when I remember watching it, it was a pretty cool film, and the aliens were kind of nice. I think basically the aliens were kind of afraid to come down to Earth because all of our television shows were showing when aliens come down, we just shoot them.
Ah, well, you know, that I hate to say we wouldn't do that, but you know, yeah. You know, I got to be honest with you. I have never seen the movie The Explorers.
What?
I know.
Oh,
I
know.
I know. That's...
It is great because they make a ship out of this. I think it's what is it? I think it's like a little bug or something like that, and it's like a force field. So it basically the force field goes around the spaceship and floats up in the air and stuff, and they run into this big alien ship. And they meet the aliens, and they find out, like, basically the aliens are the kids, So they're like little kids just like them.
Ah, okay, and, I gotcha.
It's a good movie. You gotta check it out.
See, I might have to go back and check that out. You think it holds up?
I think it holds up as far as the 80s. You will know it's an 80s movie.
Okay, so it's got this,
But it's not. It's still watchable.
Okay, gotcha.
It's still watchable.
Okay, that's kind of the important thing. As long as it's still watchable, I can accept some bad effects.
Yeah,
you know, if they haven't aged very well, you know, I can still kind of look past that.
So yeah, that was The Explorers of 1985. Number two. This movie came out in 1987. It is the Monster Squad.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? I knew you were gonna. I'm surprised it's number two. Actually, I thought it was gonna be a little bit higher up there on that list for you because I know how much you like.
Well, when I tell number one, then you'll know. But Monster Squad for me is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Gotcha. That's
because it was just you're dealing with the classic monsters of Wolfman and Frankenstein and Dracula.
To be honest with you, I'm surprised that that movie has not gotten more love over the years. Because to me, it seems like it's one of those underrated films.
It is.
And really, it is really good. It definitely holds up. Because I watched it not that long ago with my son. Mm-hmm. We watched it, and I'm like, man, this is really pretty good still. Still good. Wolfman's got nards.
Wolfman got nards.
You know what I'm saying?
You're like, you got a kid in the seventh grade smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Killing people with bows and arrows.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. That's a little intense, maybe. But, you know, but...
Yeah, they were vampires.
They were vampires. So, you know, Evil Dead, you know, kill them.
Yeah. Well, you're vampires, so... So Monster Squad is number two. That movie also had Jason Harvey from, if you remember the show, The Wonder Years.
Oh, yes,
he played
yes,
the older
yes.
brother of Fred Savage's character.
Ah, that's right.
So, and he was one of the bullies the Monster Squad.
That's right, he was.
So, and he also was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yes, he was. That's for sure.
I was born ready.
Yeah, that's right. I was born ready.
So that's number two. Monster Squad is number two. So, and the number one movie of the kids I would like to hang out with in the 80s. Drum roll, please. The Goonies.
Okay, I knew it had to be The Goonies. Because if it wasn't The Goonies, I was going to be like, it's got to be The Goonies.
It's got to be The Goonies. Yeah, I mean, every kid wanted to be a Goonie.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Yep, I do agree with that.
And Corey Feldman was in that movie. That came in 1985. Sean Astin, Josh Brolin. So, had... like an all-star cast before they were really, really famous. I think Corey Feldman was basically the more famous one out of everybody.
Yeah, probably even at that time he probably was. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So. Wow, how far Corey Feldman has fallen. He was on. Made two movies on the list.
Yeah, he did. So him and River Phoenix.
That's right. Yeah. I think I mostly have to agree with your top five list. The only one I probably, you know, just because I haven't seen The Explorers, I can't really put...
Okay.
I can't put my support behind that one. But other than that, I think even the same order, probably. Goonies, number one for sure. You know, Monster Squad, Stand By Me. I probably, you know, I don't know how good The Explorers is, but Stand By Me would be pretty high up there for
me,
too.
See, you know what? When I was making my list, it was kind of like... do I put Stand By Me could be 3. Stand By Me could even possibly be 2, but I personally am a huge Monster Squad guy.
Yeah, yeah. I knew that list. I knew that had to be on the list. Yeah. Well, if it's not, then it's, you know.
So I had one honorable mention. It was, the movie is called The Legend of Billie Jean.
Ah, The Legend of Billie Jean.
Which starred Helen Slater, who, if you know, she was Supergirl in the 1984 movie of Supergirl.
She was in it, and Christian
Slater was in it.
That's a deep cut there.
That is a deep cut.
Man.
And also, the actress who best known for being the voice of Lisa Simpson is in that.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Pulling some deep cuts, people.
Some deep cuts. So that was the honorable mention.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
So you guys tell us what's your top 5 80s kids group, that if you guys agree with my list or not, let us know on our site and everything.
Yeah. If there's one that that wasn't thought of, you know, add that maybe to the list as well.
Exactly.
And we'll go from there. So, yeah. And also, you know, even if you got theories about what's going to happen in the next season of Stranger Things, throw those out there too.
Oh yeah, we would love to discuss those on our site and everything.
So. Yeah, and if you guys have any future topics that you want us to cover in a future podcast, feel free to jot those down or send us some kind of message, and we'll go from there. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Talk later.